The eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast that focuses on technology, education, and history. Today's episode is number 57, and I'm recording this on December 31st, 2006, and I'm currently on location in Howells, Nebraska, the town where I grew up, visiting my parents over Christmas break. And if you listen to the last podcast, we are still in the dark. We had a winter storm blow through last night with a lot of ice and wind, and much of the area is currently without power today. And so I am doing this by candlelight using my portable iRiver MP3 player, and had some notes written down about a conference I recently attended in Washington, D.C. I was very fortunate to be able to attend the National Council for the Social Studies Convention, which took place in Washington, D.C. on December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and would like to just kind of do a quick overview of some of the things that happened at the convention. And then in a future podcast, I'll sit down and individually evaluate and talk about some of the different sessions that I attended and some of the great ideas that I got from the presentations that I saw in D.C. Well, first of all, getting to Washington for the NCSS conference was kind of interesting. We left Kansas City on a Thursday, and then we woke up Thursday morning to find out that we were not having school that day because of an ice storm that hit. But we did make it to the airport at KCI, and our group flew out basically in between an ice storm and a snowstorm on Thursday. And we left Kansas City with about 10 degree temperature, ice and snow on the ground, and landed in D.C. at a very balmy 50 to 55 degrees. And everybody was wearing short sleeves, and it was very unseasonably warm. So it was very interesting to leave Kansas City in an ice storm and land in D.C. in beautiful weather. We did check into the hotel and then went out and toured the monuments a little bit that first night. We had some people in our group that had not been out to see the monuments before. And if you've ever been to Washington, I really think the monuments at night are one of the best times to see them. For example, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial, places like that. So we did that. We actually had someone in our group that had a family member that was on the Vietnam Wall, and so we took a rubbing of that, and that was really special. I don't personally have a family member whose name is on the wall, but it was really powerful to see somebody who had a family member and then make an actual etching of their name to take home. So we did that the first night we were in on Thursday, and we got back to the hotel, and we're sitting down for supper, and there were about 10 of us from Liberty at the convention. We're currently going through some curriculum revision, and so we sent a rather large group. And we're all sitting around eating, and basically at the same time, our cell phones all start going off. And our district has an automated computer system. When they cancel school or there's some kind of special announcement, they send out basically like a voice, animated voicemail type thing. And so all of our cell phones started telling us that we didn't have school on Friday as well. And so we kind of laughed about that, the fact that we had all these lesson plans made for Thursday and Friday, and we actually didn't miss any class time because we didn't have school on Thursday and Friday. We stayed at a very nice hotel. We stayed at the Grand Hyatt, which was about 4 blocks away from the convention center, and it was a great place as far as location because there was a metro station basically attached to the hotel, so anytime we needed to use the metro, we could use that. That's actually how we got from the airport. We just got right on the metro and came right down to the hotel. So it was a great location as far as that. And then it was within walking distance of the convention center. So each day when you got up, it was about 3 or 4 blocks, and you were right there. I did happen to meet a colleague at the convention, Christy Keeler, and she's a professor at UNLV, teaches methods classes for social studies. And we've actually worked together on several projects. We worked on one article that we're trying to get published right now about using technology in the history classroom. And then my class of 8th graders has actually talked to her class of college students about some of the things that they would like to see in their classroom as far as technology use. And so it was great to be able to meet Christy, and we actually had lunch one day together And it's one of the great things about conferences. You see some of these, or you talk to these people online or through email. And when you come to some of these conferences, then you actually get to meet these people. So it was great being able to see Christy and kind of sit down and talk a little bit about what's happening in our classrooms. The convention center was very nice. That was the first time I had been to the convention center in Washington. Very large. Didn't seem like it was very old. Probably, I'd say, 5 years old or less, I'd imagine. And the only problem that I really saw during the convention was the lack of space as far as individual sessions. And what was happening was there's a certain number of people that would, I guess, legally be able to fit into each of these individual rooms for presentations. And once all the seats were full, then the person that was standing outside would then say, the session's full and you're not allowed to go in and sit. And even in some cases where there would have been plenty of room to add, you know, maybe a couple more chairs, or people asked if they could stand along the outside, they said it was a fire code violation if more people were in the room. And there are quite a few sessions that were closed relatively early, and then people could not get inside. In fact, it got to the point by the second day that some people were letting people out of their session early so they could then go to the next session and wait outside. And then once the doors were opened and anybody left from that individual session, people would then run in and grab a chair. And this was really unfortunate because we're not talking about people trying to get into a session 10 minutes after it started or 15 minutes after it started. We're talking about a session being closed, in some cases, 15 minutes before they even started. So hopefully that's something that NCSS looks at for their planning next year. I know that next year their convention will be in San Diego, and I have been in the San Diego Convention Center at NEC last summer. And San Diego has a very large convention center, I would think very comparable to Washington, but it's just unfortunate that some people were not able to go to the sessions they wanted. And I don't know how other people get ready for conventions, but for a big convention like this, I typically print out the different sessions and go through and kind of look at them and highlight the ones I want to see and kind of plan out my day a little bit weeks in advance. And so some of these sessions I was really looking forward to going to, and then to find out when you get there 20 minutes early that it's already closed, you know, that's a little bit disappointing. So I do hope that NCSS looks at that. I'm sure they got plenty of feedback from people. That was the one thing that really kind of put a damper on the convention for different people. The exhibit hall, lots of great exhibits, of course. Some of the ones that kind of stood out, I have podcasted about a little bit. The Constitution Center had a great booth and talked about some of the resources available to teachers. And a lot of times when you see something like the Convention Center, I think, you know, man, that'd be great if I taught in Philadelphia and my kids could go on a field trip to the actual Convention Center. And there is no real substitute for doing that, but they do have quite a few resources available online to help you with teaching about the American Constitution. And then also I did podcast about this in podcast episode number 50, but they have some excellent summer workshops available to teachers. If you want to check those out and apply for those, they have a stipend, and basically I think it would be about free for teachers from different parts of the United States to attend and spend about a week in Philadelphia using the resources of the Constitution Center. Another exhibit that kind of caught my eye walking around the exhibit hall was the World War II Daily website, and I did podcast about that in episode number 51, but a great resource if you're teaching about World War II. Basically, they take the news for each individual day, and they're going to span this out over about a six-year time period. And so you get a perspective of what it was like at the beginning of the war. We tend to think about World War II from, you know, a present-day perspective, and we know that the United States won, and we know how things worked out. But when you're talking about some of the early stages of the war, things were looking, you know, rather bleak. Nothing was definitely decided. And there was a lot of worry and concern about how this war was going to turn out. And so that looks like an excellent website. And I have that as a link on the podcast for number 51. So go ahead and check that out if you teach about World War II. Also, I stopped by the History Channel booth. They had some great offerings. Been looking a little bit more at their multimedia classroom series for American history. And I'll talk about that a little bit later in another podcast. But stop by and talk to the people at the History Channel booth. And that was excellent, as always. Also, they had the Save Our History booth right next to that, where they had some different information about some of the teacher programs and grants that are coming up. So go ahead and check that out if you have an interest in the Save Our History programs. Also talk to the people at the Gilder Learman Institute of American History. And again, they have some amazing workshops. Did a podcast about that just recently. But they have some excellent workshops for teachers. And then also stop by and talk to people at C-SPAN. Of course, they have the C-SPAN bus, which if you've ever been to a convention where the C-SPAN bus is, they actually drive this humongous yellow bus into the convention center, into the exhibit hall. And it's basically a portable recording studio that's been in all 50 states. Yes, all 50. They've actually taken it to Hawaii. But it's really interesting to see. And the cool thing about the C-SPAN bus this time was the exhibit hall was actually about on the second or third level of the convention center. And so people would be walking by and they'd be like, how did you get that bus up here? Because as an individual, you had to walk up several flights of stairs or ride an escalator to get up several different flights to get to the exhibit hall. But there's actually a place in the back where you could bring different vehicles up, say if there's a car show or things like that. So always great to see the big yellow C-SPAN bus at the exhibit hall. Also on the exhibit hall, lots and lots of free books were given away. There were some excellent opportunities to grab some both paperbacks and hardcover books. And one of the best ones that I snagged was Manhunt, The 12-Day Chase for Lincoln's Killer by James Swanson. And I just got done reading that here over Christmas break. An excellent, excellent book. And I was able to go over to Ford's Theater a little bit during one of our lunch breaks. And so it was kind of neat to be at Ford's Theater and the Peterson House and then read the book just a couple weeks later. I could kind of tie in some of those places, so that was really neat. But picked up some really great books. Also, have been very interested in graphic novels and their potential use in American history classrooms. I did talk to several different publishers that have graphic novels and picked up some examples. I think the one that I picked up that I was going to look at over break here was a graphic novel about Gettysburg. But I think that has some amazing potential for use in a junior high or grade school history classroom, possibly even a high school history classroom. So I did talk to a couple of publishers and hope to get some more information about graphic novels in the American history classroom. Talked to several of the textbook companies. We're currently going through a curriculum revision, and we're going to be deciding on a textbook, obviously, over the next year or so. And from my perspective, I wanted to find out what many of them are doing from a technology aspect. And it's been interesting to watch over the last couple of years, slowly some of the textbook companies have begun to put a lot of their resources on a thumb drive or a little jump drive for portability reasons. I know a lot of them used to, when you got a textbook, you got this humongous book of worksheets and transparencies and all those kinds of things. And now most of the textbook companies have that entire thing on a jump drive. So if you do happen to go home and you use those resources, instead of taking a workbook home or a big box of stuff home, you can just take the thumb drive home and then you can use it on your computer at home. So we did talk to a couple textbook companies about their technology angles that they were using with their new publications. The one thing that I asked a lot of textbook companies about that I didn't get a lot of clear answers on was if they made available the textbook as an audio recording in an MP3 format. And the reason that I asked about this was we found that quite a few of our special needs students have found it very beneficial to have an audio recording of the textbook that they can then listen to, and it's helped them greatly in comprehension. We did this with the Gorilla Season Book Blog Project, where we had students that were having difficulty reading. They could actually listen to parts of the book, and then they could kind of keep up with the reading of the rest of the class. And it really isn't, I don't think, a substitute for reading. A lot of them actually used it while they were looking at a print copy of the book, but it helps them with comprehension so much. And so the main question that I asked the textbook companies was, do you have it available so that a student, say they're at home and it's Wednesday night and we're looking at chapter 5, is there a way for them to listen to section 1 of chapter 5 at home, either by like clicking on a website or maybe being able to download from a website an MP3 file? And there weren't any textbook companies that I talked to that had that capability. There were several textbook companies that said they had some recordings available as a CD, or one company said as a DVD. But that's one thing that I'm going to look at quite a bit over the next couple months as we do some evaluation of textbook companies, whether or not they have an MP3 version of the textbook available that students can listen to, as well at home. I mean, a lot of them have the CD, but I want to be able to make sure that students have access to that outside of the classroom. So that was one of the big questions that I had for them. Some side trips that we took. Of course, Washington, D.C. is a great place to have a social studies convention because there's so much history and politics and everything there. We were very close to Ford's Theater, and so one day over our lunch break, I did walk down to Ford's Theater and toured the basement museum and went across to the Peterson House and actually did a little bit of podcasting from there. That's in podcast episode number 52. And like I said, I did read that book about the chase for Lincoln's killer just after that, so it's kind of neat to be able to have a visual to put with all the things that I was reading about. So that was a great visit. And then also we did go over to the Native American Museum right there on the Mall, one of the newest Smithsonian museums. And if you're looking for a great place to have lunch when you're looking at the different Smithsonians there on the Mall, check out the Native American Museum. We did this summer when my wife and I were there, and they have an amazing collection of food, kind of in like a cafeteria style, in the Native American Museum. First of all, when you go in, they have different regions, so you can select foods from the Pacific Northwest or Central America, South America, the Great Plains, different places like that. And what I did was I picked a little bit from different regions this time. So I took some smoked salmon from the Pacific Northwest, and then had some cornbread from the Plains area, and then had some peanut soup from the South American, it's either South American or Central American region, and it had like a little bit of like hot chili powder inside. But you can get all food from one region, or you can kind of get little bits and pieces from different ones. And it's just an amazing selection of food, a little bit more expensive than what you might find if you go to, for example, like the Air and Space Museum, I know has a food court inside, but the food at the Native American Museum is amazing. And so if you're looking for a great place to eat on the Mall, definitely check out the Native American Museum. So there's just kind of some general observations from the NCSS conference in Washington. Had a great time. It's just always beneficial to be able to kind of dig a little bit deeper into content area and talk to your colleagues in a situation that's different than a half an hour meeting that you have after school. So I had a great time in Washington, and hopefully I'm going to try and present next year in San Diego when they have the convention over on the West Coast. But if you get an opportunity to attend the NCSS conference, I would definitely jump at that chance. Well, thanks a lot for listening. This has been Speaking of History with Eric Langhorst. Good night.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.